The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Reporting last night from America, suggestions that Joe Biden will step down as the Democratic nominee for the presidential election by Sunday or Monday. And yet there are people around him who continue to deny it. Let's hear this morning's MSNBC's Morning Joe show, where Jen O'Malley-Dillon, the chair of the Biden-Harris campaign, denied that he would leave the race.
Absolutely, the president's in this race. You've heard him say that time and time again. And I think we saw on display last night exactly why, because Donald Trump is not going to offer anything new to the American people. He's the same person he was in 2020. He's the same person he was at the debate stage. He's the same person he is that is about himself and not about the American people. And Joe Biden is more committed than ever to beat Donald Trump. And we believe on this campaign, we are built for the close election that we are in. And we see the path forward. The president is the leader of our campaign and of the country. And he is clearly, in our impression and what we've built and in our engagement with voters, he's the best person to take on Donald Trump and prosecute that case and present his vision versus what we saw last night.
Loyal, perhaps, but when she says he's committed, is he able? And is he the person who won in 2020? Larry Donnelly, are these the last puff-ups of Joe Biden's ego before the senior people in the Democratic Party, knowing that there's no more money coming in from donors, cut the knees out from under him?
I suspect that they are, Matt, and I, you know, I have to say, I didn't think things would go this direction that quickly. I thought that the convention, the Vance pick, et cetera, might take some of the air out of this, but it clearly hasn't. And I have to say, Jen O'Malley is a fellow Bostonian, and one of the traits we prize most is loyalty, and I think she's loyal to the end, and that is admirable in one sense, but I think it's misguided in another. And I think that there's some impressive choreography going on here in terms of trying to persuade President Biden to step aside. I note that John Tester, who's running for Senate in Montana, a red state, he's a Democrat, I note that he has said now publicly that Joe Biden should stand aside. If he loses his seat, that probably means Democratic control of the Senate is gone. I also note that Martin Heinrich, the U.S. Senator Democrat from New Mexico, has just in the past few minutes said that Joe Biden should step aside. And I suspect the signal being sent there is New Mexico, which has morphed into a blue state, could be in play. And I think there's some choreography going on here at the highest levels. And I'm not so sure it's Barack Obama. The person who I think might be choreographing an awful lot of this is Nancy Pelosi and her closest allies. The heat is growing on Biden. I just don't see how he can withstand it. I don't see how he continues. But again, it is his decision to make, Matt.
Mary McKeown, you're at the Republican convention. What's your sense of what the Republicans want? Do they want Biden to remain in place as an easy target to beat? Or do they anticipate that he will be removed and they will be facing somebody else?
The Republicans here that I've spoken with, including some fairly senior ones, absolutely want Biden to stay in the race. The whole plan, their whole game plan is based on Trump running against Biden and projecting his strength and virility as they see it against Biden's weakness and frailty. Just picking up what Larry said, the Republicans also believe they're going to win New Mexico. They believe they're going to take that Senate seat. They believe Virginia is, and the state, they believe Virginia is also in play, and they believe they're going to take possibly Maine and New Hampshire. So the Democrats are absolutely panicking because they see not just losing the swing states, but losing another four or five states as well. They're talking about a Reagan-Carter situation here. And but interestingly, one of the names that has come up now with a couple of Republicans who are saying, because I said, who is your worst case scenario to one of them? And they mentioned Mark Kelly, the Democratic senator from Arizona, possibly as a vice presidential candidate to Kamala Harris. He is, of course, the American hero, the astronaut. He has a whole chest full of army medals, and he's the husband of Gabby Gifford and has run a very powerful pro-gun control movement. So one of the two Republicans actually said that would make them nervous, whether he ran in his own capacity, which is not likely, or as a running mate for Kamala Harris, were she to assume the top of the ticket. But I think Larry's right. People are feeling that it really is just a matter of time, but yet, by Biden's campaign are saying he's going back out on the trail next week and he's sticking with it. So he is he's known for being extraordinarily stubborn, but the writing does seem to be on the wall.
And then, Marion, if he was to be replaced, is there a sense from Trump and his entourage that there may be a degree of hubris already setting in, that they think they have this one anyway?
Oh, they believe they have it won. I don't think they see Kamala Harris as a particular threat. I'm not sure that they see anyone, quite honestly, as a particular threat. They're very, very gung-ho. The Republicans I spoke to, not everyone is on the same page about J.D. Vance, it has to be said, but they believe generally the mood at the convention, and again last night, was that this is a powerful ticket, this is a stick-it-to-them ticket, and this is J.D. Vance continuing on and supporting and burnishing Trump's legacy. So the speech last night by Trump, however, I have to say, I was right down on the convention floor by the Texan delegates. The balloon got very soft a couple of times. It wasn't a great speech. It was kind of boring, and you could feel the energy kind of sink out of the room a couple of times, even though they were, when he arrived on stage, the place just erupted. But we did see what, you know, Trump is about when you take away their brush with death and the pomp and the glitz. You know, he was meandering. He was a bit all over the place. He offered nothing new. And he studiously avoided a lot of the controversial issues that Democrats believe that they can really attack him on. But they don't believe they can attack him and win with Joe Biden.
Well, you haven't exactly sold Trump's speech to us when we're just about to play an extract from it.
I am running to be president for all of America, not half of America. Because there is no victory in winning for half of America. Not supposed to be here tonight. Not supposed to be here.
Yes, you are! Yes, you are!
In that spirit, the Democrat Party should immediately stop weaponizing the justice system and labeling their political opponent as an enemy of democracy. Especially since that is not true. In fact, I am the one saving democracy for the people of our country. I will end the devastating inflation crisis immediately, bring down interest rates, and lower the cost of energy. We will drill, baby, drill. Today, our cities are flooded with illegal aliens. Americans are being squeezed out of the labor force, and their jobs are taken. By the way, you know who's taking the jobs that are created? 107% of those jobs are taken by illegal aliens. Tonight, America, this is my vow. I will not let these killers and criminals into our country.
Okay, so much there, Larry Donnelly. Do you really think he believes that his offer of being a president for all of the people? Because, you know, he might have started out like that, but didn't he just revert then as his speech meandered on to his usual divisive stuff?
He did. You know, Matt, I really have to stop giving up making predictions about Donald Trump. I had thought that he was learning a little bit of discipline. If we saw the way he stayed out of the fray as Biden came under scrutiny after the first debate, he stayed above it. I thought he might actually be listening to good, solid political people. I thought the speech started off on a very strong and good note. I thought it then deteriorated into, you know, stuff that the base certainly loves. They love that stuff and they eat it up. What I thought he might have done was, yes, give a few morsels for the base, but give a different sort of speech. And I think, above all, perhaps a shorter speech. And the one thing about politics that I've learned over many years, most of the time the hard way, is that even when you're in front, even when you're comfortable, you run like you're 10 points or 15 points behind. You run scared at all times. I think there was an element of triumphalism in the convention writ large, which, of course, had good moments, strong moments, and things that we'll be able to sell to the vast majority of people who didn't watch it. But there was a little bit of triumphalism there that I think might come back to haunt them, and especially in the context where we're looking at something that might change the dynamics totally of this race. If Joe Biden stands aside, we have a contested battle among some very capable people for the Democratic nomination. This race could still change. Of course, Joe Biden and the Democrats, or whoever the nominee is, are on the ropes. But there's a ways to go on this thing yet.
But But the point, Marion, then, is who would be willing to sacrifice themselves for the Democrats if they felt they didn't have a good chance of winning? Kamala Harris may want to do it, but there's an awful lot of Democrats who feel she's not capable of beating Trump. But would those who are capable of beating him take the risk themselves personally?
Well, yes, and it's also determining who is capable. I think that certainly a lot of people feel that Gretchen Whitmer would be a very, very strong candidate, particularly if she had a running mate like Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania. And there you have two swing states straight away, or another permutation, Whitmer and Mark Kelly. There you have Michigan and Arizona. But you know, she definitely has her eye, as do several other pretty strong candidates, on 2028. And are they going to risk torpedoing their chance in 2028 by running a desperate scramble race in 24? They would have to believe there is a chance of beating Trump. And, you know, picking up on what Larry said, the convention overall was a really well-run convention, probably one of the best-run conventions I've ever attended. It ran like clockwork. It was a really, the atmosphere was really happy. I mean, certainly triumphalism was there, but it was good-humoured, unlike 2016, when there were nearly fisticuffs on the floor between delegates, and you had Ted Cruz having to be escorted out of the building with his wife, and you had a Utah rebellion. This was every single person there was 110% there for Trump, and they really felt it was more like a celebration. It was more like an inauguration, really, than a convention. But having said that, his speech, and it did start off pretty well when he was describing his brush with death, you could hear literally a pin drop. The whole arena was silent, and then of course they erupted in cheers at the appropriate moments. But you know, for most of the hour, and for about an hour and 15 minutes, it dragged, and people were sitting slumped in their chairs. Delegates were sitting slumped in their chairs, and they wanted something to jump up and cheer at. But I don't think that even for the base, he gave them enough. Maybe he could have given them, you know, the red meat, but you know, in half the time, that might have kept their energy going, because it was definitely, you could feel the deflation on the floor.
Okay, Marion McKeown from the Business Post, look forward to reading what you have to offer over the weekend. And Larry Donnelly, who also is a columnist with thejournal.ie, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.